to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
The 1-2. Ground ball to the left side. Charging it is Katayama Stahl. Quick release across the diamond, and he does it! A perfect game for Ryan Rembiz and the Portland Pilots! It's never been done here on the bluff, and Ryan Rembiz just with the distance, a full 9. 12 strikeouts, no walks, no hits. It's an 8-0 win for the Portland Pilots.
8-0 over Seattle U. Ryan Rembiz made history on Tuesday. 37th perfect game in Division I baseball history. Here to talk about it, why not? Ryan Rembiz joining us. Take us through that last pitch, 1-2 pitch, bouncing ball to the third baseman. Close play. It's a nice play by your third baseman there, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a great play by the first base or third baseman. My first baseman also had a ton of great plays to help me out throughout the game. But, yeah, the last pitch was a changeup, like one ball off the plate is how we called it. And so I was really focused on just not putting anything that could be hit hard over the middle of the plate, because that would just be, like, the worst way to lose out on that. So I was just happy that I got my spot. And the weak contact and the great play from third ensued. So, yeah.
You only threw 90 pitches, 12 strikeouts. You know, you're a senior. You'd never thrown more than 4 1/3, you know, as a college guy, in an appearance. So, you know, let's go through this game. I mean, when you get into, like, the fourth or fifth inning and you're feeling pretty good, I mean, is anybody talking to you in the dugout? Are you a superstitious person? What's going on as the game kind of progresses?
Yeah, I'm not superstitious at all. Like, I'm pretty laid back in the dugout. So throughout the whole game, I was, like, just talking to people on the fence, kind of leaning up, watching the game, and having fun with the guys. But closer to the end of the game, everyone really started tensing up around me. And I just had to kind of act like that wasn't happening, you know. I just tried to keep talking to dudes, even though they wanted no part of me.
Yeah, and let's go back to high school, too. Redmond High School in Redmond, Washington. And did you ever have a no-hitter or a perfect game in high school?
No, I think I was close to a no-hitter a couple times. I had a really good senior year where I seldom gave up that many hits or runs. But, yeah, I never think I got the perfect or the no-hit in high school.
Give me an idea, because, you know, obviously your goal is to win a game, throw well for your team, have a nice season, have a, you know, good senior season. But getting that kind of accomplishment, you know, only 37 people in Division I history have done that. How did that feel to you? What did your phone look like after the game? You get back and you change, you take a look at your phone. What did it look like?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It's just coming in waves. Still, the more people that are posting it and putting it out, the more people are following me and texting me and congratulating me. So, yeah, the phone has been just insane since last night, just nonstop calls and texts. But, the team pretty much, we've moved on sort of today. We're at practice right now, and everything's just back to normal. So we're looking forward for our next series and just trying to keep the good momentum going.
I am thinking about, you know, family lineage in sports. Let's talk about, you know, your parents when you grew up. Parents athletes?
My dad was, yeah. Well, actually, no, my mom was a high school athlete, and she was a pretty good one. But my dad played college football at Stanford University.
Stanford. Defensive tackle, right?
Yep.
Now, why not football for you?
I don't know. I played football in high school, and then I played football and basketball and baseball in middle school. But, like, football, I just never really got into as much. I was always pretty good at it. I was big and physical for my age, and my dad was a great coach. So, like, I always felt like I had an edge on the football field. But, yeah, you know, ever since a young age, plan A was always baseball. So I stopped playing football after my sophomore year because I didn't want to get hurt and ruin my baseball chances.
There you go. Ryan Rembiz with us through a perfect game yesterday against Seattle U for the University of Portland, left-handed pitcher. Did you get nervous at the end of the game? I mean, you look really calm. I watched the video of it, but you tell me what's going on in your chest as you're winding up, throwing that 1-2 changeup.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the entire game, after the 6th or 7th, I was pretty relaxed just because I was like, you know, I already came this far and pitched this well. Like, who cares if I give up a hit? Like, I figured I probably would, so I wasn't really looking for a perfect game or worried about that at all. I was more just like, you know what? Like, if it happens, it happens, but I just got to keep playing this game that I'm playing. But yeah, on the last batter was when I kind of started realizing, oh, I have a 50-50 shot at a perfect game here. Like, that's pretty close to good odds for me for a perfect game. Especially in that 1-2 count. So, yeah, I have something a little extra growing through my arm and my chest for that last out.
The celebration afterwards, you know, we say the jumping around on the field, but what was that like to be in the middle of that and subsequent celebrating into Tuesday evening?
Yeah, it was just shock, honestly. Like, I didn't think the play was going to be made when he hit that, and I was like, oh, well, that's how it ends. He gets on first here with the last out. So just watching that throw across the diamond, I think you can see in the video a little bit, like, I'm still processing all of it. I have not processed it until the first teammate, Tyler Howard, runs up from behind me and gives me a big hug. That's the first time where I was like, oh, wow. It happened.
You know, you are a business major, at least that's what it says, the University of Portland's bio of you, and I know that this is your senior year, but, you know, what does throwing this game and having this outing do for you as far as the confidence that you'll have, you know, making starts throughout this season?
Oh, I'd say just having the seeing the coaches put trust in me to go out there and start yesterday. We had conversations before about me kind of working into a starter role and starting to see longer innings this year as a starter and not as a reliever. So I was kind of ready for it when they put me out there, I felt. And, you know, after that, I think it's safe to say I have at least another start out there. So I'm going to just make the most with my opportunities, I guess, from here on out and keep rolling. You know, I got a good feel for all three of my pitches right now. There was a fourth one I had that I never even needed yesterday. So, yeah, I just want to keep the arm healthy and keep going.
Well, no, pitchers will always say, like, you know, if I'm throwing my breaking ball for a strike, it makes everything better. When you were warming up in the bullpen, what was going right for you, or did you have an inkling like, hey, I've got good stuff today?
Oh, not at all. In the bullpen, I was like 50-50. It was pretty average, I'd say. I got out on the mound, felt pretty average. After the first two innings, I was kind of like, all right, six up, six down. Like, we'll take that. And then the third inning was when I came out there and started being like, oh, like, I just hit a perfect spot, and I just did it again, and I just did it again. And I was like, oh, wow, like, I'm starting to deal a little bit right now. Let's hope I don't get tired. And then I just never got tired, I guess. It just stayed there.
Give me an idea. Like, how do you attribute that? Because for people who don't understand, you know, if you're a guy who normally is throwing at most four innings in an appearance, to go out and throw 90 pitches and go nine innings, that's a different animal. And so what do you attribute that endurance to and the ability to bear down and stay focused for that long?
Yeah, well, I've been a reliever, like I said, but I've always been sort of a longer relief pitcher, and I get used pretty much whenever they need me. Like, I'm the rubber arm of the staff, so I'll go Friday and Sunday, or, you know, Saturday and Tuesday. Like, I'll go whenever they need me, pretty much, and I'm always on tap for them. So my arm, I can safely say, is, like, very healthy and able to withstand such a load. Like, I've been training it up enough to where it was ready for that. However, yeah, nothing can really prepare you for, like, just sitting down between innings and then getting back up and going out there and then sitting down again. Like, you get really warm, and then you cool off, and then you get really warm again. And over time, that kind of starts taking its toll.
Were you in a situation where you know, are you shaking off your catcher? Are you changing the pitch? Or were you just going with what was called?
Yeah, I was just going with what was called and trying not to put anything over the plate. You know, if it was like a slider away or a changeup away, I was like, all right, just don't miss middle. Don't mess up, you know?
You know, I talked about superstition and guys talking to you. Did anyone talk to you as you go out to the ninth, or you come in after throwing eight, or, you know, did anybody say anything to you? Did an infielder behind you yell anything to you, or was everybody at that point kind of going, I'm not going to jinx this?
Yeah, I had a nice conversation with one of our infielders, Spencer Scott, in the bottom of the eighth about his hip surgery and recovering from that. So I was talking to him about that, and it was funny because the rest of the dugout was 6 feet or more away from me. Like, he was the only guy in the city. I kind of, like, took him hostage a little bit because he wasn't going to walk away from me.
Yeah.
And then I think our other infielder, Jonas Salk, said it best where he was out there in the ninth saying, like, in his head, oh, I really want this ball to come to me. Like, just super nervous and super, like, everyone was just, really, really scared out there, I think, for those three outs.
Well, this is a lineup that scored 7 runs against Long Beach State, you know, just 2 days earlier, 3 days before they scored 3. You know, this was not a team that had been shut out this season. You threw a perfect game against them. Ryan, congrats on that, man. And now you're in an Oral Hershiser situation, probably way before your time. But, you know, every inning that you throw here that is perfect beyond this, the legend grows. Not to jinx it or anything, knock on wood, but go out and throw a 3-out first inning the next time out.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. My grandma's favorite player growing up was Oral Hershiser, so I do know him well.
There you go. Thanks. Now you're dating me, man. I appreciate that. Ryan Rembiz, say hi to your dad. A couple of the Stanford listeners reached out to me and said, yeah, I remember that guy. He was a defensive tackle and a good player. So say hi to your dad. Keep it going on the Bluff, and congrats on the amazing performance. Perfect game.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, Ryan Rembiz, there he goes. Perfect game. I love that he had an infielder who was talking to him about his hip surgery. What are you doing tonight? You know, what's going on?
Would you be out in the field, the guy that says, I want the ball hit to me or not? Because I kind of feel like I wouldn't. I'd be like, I don't want to be the guy that messes it up.
You have to. Like, but I grew up that way, and I grew up with a dad who was a middle infielder who taught us that in, like, when we were 8 years old in T-ball. You have to want the ball. And I've tried to impart that on my daughters who, you know, if they're playing volleyball or soccer or whatever, you have to want the ball. You don't want to be in a situation ever as a player. And I'm not saying I ever was ever always there, but you don't ever want to be in a situation where you were thinking, don't hit the ball to me. Because then when the ball comes to you, you're screwed. So you have to want the ball and expect the ball. And I can tell you that third baseman, have you seen the video of the final out?
Yeah.
That's not an easy play. And for people, like, people always talk about third base being the hot corner or whatever, and they, you know, you always see, like, the smash down the line and Brooks Robinson laying out and getting the ball and then throwing the guy out at first base. A lot of the plays that third basemen get are dribblers, bouncers, odd little plays. And this one was exactly that. And the thing that got me is I watched the video of it, and the way the ball came off the bat, I was like, that's a hit. Or it's going to be a really hard play, but the third baseman must have been playing in. I can only gather that he was playing in, and then made a really nice, smooth play on the ball and got the runner by a step for the perfect game. I mean, that's a big-time play by that third baseman.
Big-time play, because he made it, like you said, it was a tough play. He made it look routine, too.
It made it look, made like, it look easy.
And that's the thing. It's like, in that situation, even though, you know, Portland's up 8-0, like, that is the most nervous out you're going to get all season, is that one right there, and he made it look real easy.
Yeah. Nice job by the University of Portland. Hopefully this kid keeps it going. Let Rembiz get another start. Now he has to go out, like, you know, he has to go out and be like, you know what, throw a perfect first inning and the next time out. Now you're at 10 innings. How far can this streak go?
I like that he described himself as the rubber arm. And now it's like, no, like, dude, you got the stuff. You're rubber arm no more, man.
Well, sometimes you do on a team. You need a guy who's willing to eat up innings, you know, to help save the pitching staff.
Well, we've all, like, if you're a fan of a baseball team, there's always that one pitcher that you know if he's in the game, your team's going to lose, right? Like, you throw him out there, it's like he's going to eat up five innings just to save the bullpen.
I was looking back at Seattle U because I was like, you know, are they just a bad offensive team? Let me check it out. Like, no, they scored 11 runs at Loyola Marymount. They scored 6 at Loyola. They scored, you know, 4 on San Diego State. They had UC Santa Barbara's a top 25 team. They scored 3 on them. Got 3 on Utah. They got 7 on Long Beach State. And then here came the perfect game. So really cool. That game was on ESPN Plus. So got a big audience and a nice performance from Rembiz. Leave it here. You get the BFT statewide.